This is what I would call a hesitation Sunday. And I'm not sure if it's the weather that's doing this to us or not, but just now when they finished, you hesitated on what should I do here, right? Like it went into this. And could I just say, never on a Sunday morning are we at a professional golf association tournament, okay? Do you understand what I mean by that? Like, have you ever watched professional golf on TV? Except for one hole on one tournament every year, everybody does this. Okay? So let's never do that, okay? Like, if you feel like celebrating that, then celebrate it. I was watching Jeanette up here this morning, and I was thinking, I long for the day when I have the freedom to just express and worship how Jeanette expresses it, right? Like, I love that. And I'm gonna work towards that, because in my heart, inside, I'm doing that. Outside, not so much, but inside, doing that. So, is it because it was cold and snowy? Candy, where are you, Candy? I wish you had come up again and done your snow welcome. Right? I woke up this morning and I looked out. Was it beautiful today when you looked out? It was beautiful. Was it cold when you got out? Yeah. They go together, okay? All my southern family, I just keep getting text message after. They're doing that bless your soul, right? Bless your heart thing. Do you know what it is in down south? Like when they say bless your heart, it's really a backhanded thing, right? Like Tim's not very bright. Bless his heart, you know? Like, it's that kind of thing. And I'm getting those texts on weather. Heard it's below zero again today. Oh, bless your heart. You know what they're doing down south? They're going, ha, 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 right? I'm looking out the back door of this just sea of white and thinking, that is beautiful. And Candy, how many times does the Bible talk about it in some versions? About 2,000. Yeah, okay. What? Two dozen? I'm going with 2,000. Yeah. I'm going with 2,000. Yeah. All right, enough of that rant and rave. Teachers, you want to head to the back door. Kids, kindergarten through, or preschool through junior high, you want to head out the back. Go to your classes and have a blast while you're there, okay? And we'll try and have fun in here too. We'll try to. Could we go through a quick review on what we've been doing so far? We've been in this series called Presence, which I don't know how that feels to you, that we're talking about God's presence. Because I want it to be that. I want it to be that full, wow, crescendo, like top of the mountain. But I also want it to be very real. I don't want it to be so big that it's distant from us. I want it to be so big and so intimate that it's right here where we live. The more I dive into this, the more I realize how many avenues God's given us to go down to come into His presence. I got a text a couple weeks ago from one of our young adults who grew up in our church, and he's in my mind. He's like, not in my mind. In my relationship with him, I don't even know how to describe him. First of all, I think he's one of the most beautiful human beings I've ever met. Just like looking at him physically, you think that guy is just he's just amazing, incredibly good looking. He has this quick smile that when he smiles, it kind of changes everything in the room. He's got a brilliant mind, so he asks questions about everything. And sometimes it's because he's curious, sometimes it's because he's just being a punk, right? And man, he has struggled off and on through his life. He's really struggled. And I've tried over the years to just keep in touch with him, just regularly say, hey, can we go out to lunch? And it's been a while, and I haven't seen him or talked to him for a while. And a couple weeks ago, I got this text out of the blue. And it said, hey, Pastor Tim, can we go out to lunch? And this is a young man that I love. I adore him. But he decides what kind of relationship he's going to have with you. He kind of controls that whole thing, and he navigates it by bringing you close when he needs to, and then you know, separating for a while. And I can tell you that I have prayed and prayed and prayed. I have been in God's presence and said, God, please give me the opportunity in life to move next to this young man, to be close to him. And so out of the blue, I mean, I can't tell you how long it's been, he sends me a text, can we go out to lunch? And I wondered what it would be like. I wondered what it'd be like, but as soon as I got the text, what flooded back into me was all the times that I have spent in God's presence telling him how much I love this young man and how special he is and how I just want God's blessing to flood into his life. So guess what happened when I got that text? I felt this boomerang effect of God's presence in a way that I guess I hadn't defined it before, but it was, hey, Tim, you know how many times we've had conversation about this? And how many times I've told you, you just keep loving him, and how many times you've said, I'm going to do that, but I'm not sure if it's ever going to make any difference at all. And then when I got that text, it was like this flood came back in of how many times God and I have been in conversation about this very thing. And I went, and man, it was good. I'd love to say it was perfect, but this side of heaven, I don't know that that's going to happen. But I thought, what an answer to my prayers in my conversations with God. So presence is you and me spending any time we can in God's presence and how that affects us. Let me kind of go back over the things that we've been looking at, because I think they've almost been scattered and I want to try and pull them back in. So I'm going to say it in sentence form and then we'll just work our way through it. The first one is this. The Bible talks about God's presence over and over again. It's more than 24 times that it talks about snow. It's like 2,000 times. I would say more than that. About God's presence. The Bible talks about it over and over again, so it must be important. Here's the second thing that we went through. Christians talk about being in God's presence, but have a hard time telling what it is. See, remember I said this the first week. If you were sitting down at Starbucks or Meg's or wherever you get coffee, if you were sitting there with another Christian, they said, and they're a young Christian, they said, could you tell me what it means to be in God's presence? What would you say to them? Well, it's this really important thing, and it's really important. Did I say it's really important? Did I get there? Right? So I want it to not just be on that crescendo mountaintop, but I want it to be something you can express. If you were with a person who wasn't a Christian, who just is familiar with you, and they said, you say this term, being in God's presence, or coming into the Lord's presence a lot, what does that mean? What would you say to them? So we started to work through what that is. We looked at James 4, and we've learned what gets in the way of coming into God's presence. Like, these are two of the biggies that get in the way. Me, and the world. Me and the world. Like, I'm so busy or so important, and the world keeps me so busy that I don't come into God's presence. And then we've learned what helps us coming into God's presence. Humility is one of the things. Submission. That's where it says you're going to put God in control. You're gonna say he's the one who leads your life. Resistance, that's resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Movement. I can't say this enough. God pursues us in salvation, but God waits for us when it comes to intimacy. He pursues us in salvation. Man, he wants every one of us to understand that we fall short of the glory of God. But he's given us this incredible gift of a relationship with him through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But when it comes to intimacy, God waits on us. He wants to know that we want it. And so the movement starts on my part. And then just being in the presence of God. Here's this last thought. Initially, coming into God's presence can feel unfamiliar, but eventually it becomes intimate. Have you experienced this yet? Like, initially, coming into God's presence, it is unfamiliar. But if you do it, the more you do it, the more not only familiar it becomes, but the more intimate it becomes. Let me go through a couple thoughts here. I know that that's a lot to take in. I know it is. I know all of that, just those things right there, that's a lot to take in. But I want to take it one step further because I want to say all of these things lead us to avenues that we can go down to come into God's presence. And I want to start into one of those today. And it's the avenue that we call prayer. Prayer is one avenue to come into God's presence. Last week, if you were here, we looked at Moses having two conversations with God. Do you remember that if you were here last week? Conversation number one, that's the burning bush experience. Then conversation number two, that's after the golden calf. And Moses has a conversation with God, the second conversation. Having a conversation with God is prayer. So when I say to you, do you pray? I'm really asking this question. Do you have conversations with God? That's all that is. Let me just say the word, and I'm going to say a word, and when I say it, you kind of crystallize what picture you have in your mind. I'm going to say the word pray or prayer. What picture popped into your mind? Huh? Praying hands, maybe? Is that what kind of... somebody on their knees... Eyes closed, right? Head bowed a little bit. Where God wants to take us is when you hear the word prayer, is the picture that comes into your mind is a conversation. I'm not saying folding hands isn't okay. Praying hands. So if you have that sculpture or whatever, that painting, it's okay. But what God wants us to think of when we hear the word pray or prayer is interaction. It's conversation between us and Him. Moses was in God's presence in both conversations, right? The one in Exodus 3 and the one in Exodus 33. He was in God's presence when he was at the burning bush, right? And he was in God's presence when he had the conversation. He was in God's presence, but he didn't know it in the first one. He didn't realize he was in God's presence. In fact, God had to tell him that he was in his presence initially. He had to tell him who he was having a conversation with. He had to tell him what he wanted him to do. Last week I asked this, what's the difference in the first conversation and the second conversation? It came down to the word presence, because in the second conversation, Moses used the word presence and God used the word presence. It was clear. So today what I want is to go down that avenue of prayer, that avenue of conversation, so that you can begin to get comfortable with it. You can begin to enjoy it. So what I'm going to do is, this was the hardest of the messages to put together. Like each of the others was building part of a foundation. Today, I want to give you some supplies to help build on top of that foundation, all right? So what I've done is I put together some beginning thoughts on how to move into conversation with God, okay? That's all this is. It's how do I move into a conversation with God? So here's the first one. It's take God's invitation. You want to know how to move into conversation with God? Take Him up on His invitation. All right? He's the one inviting us into a conversation with Him. I'm going to read two verses, and then I'll come back to the second one and talk a little bit more about it. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 21 and 22. I will invite him to approach me, says the Lord, for who would dare to come unless invited? You will be my people, and I will be your God. Do you get this? This is loud and clear. This is the God of the Old Testament saying, listen, nobody just comes and talks to me unless I invite them. But I've invited you to come and talk to me because I'll be your God and you can be my people. I'll invite you. The second verse is one of my dad's all-time favorites, one that I heard him say countless times growing up, Matthew 11:28. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Really just want to zero in on that, come to me. He's making it really clear here. I will invite you. Come to me. Like he's saying this, you want to have a conversation? Good news is, I want to have a conversation with you. In fact, I'm inviting you to come and have a conversation. When Candy was talking about snow last week, she was talking about that Old Testament picture of God saying, let's just sit across the table from each other. Let's just sit here and let's have conversation. Because I can take whatever you think that's scarlet and turn it white as snow. Whatever the struggle is that you're going through, whatever the fear that you have, whatever the impossible that you have, I'm inviting you to have conversation with me. So let's just talk about invitations, okay? Anybody got an invitation lately to anything? Anybody get invited? What'd you get invited to? Man. Okay, how old, which of the girls? Kyla's six. Think about this. A six-year-old gets an invitation to a birthday party. What do you think that's like? Okay, some of you just did yes, okay, because you're the parent. I'm saying, what is it like for a six-year-old to get an invitation like that? That's dance all over stuff, right? Anybody else get any invitations recently? Here, I'll tell you that we'll all get an invitation eventually, all right? I'm just going to tell you, we will all get an invitation because celebrations always bring invitations, right? Kel, you got anything in the near future that you'll be celebrating? Could you stand and say it to everybody? Yes, you do.
I'm a big grandma.
Woo! Yeah. Okay. Okay, all right. Do you want to? What are they going to call you?
I think we're not sure yet.
You're not sure yet? Okay.
They're talking about Mimi.
Yeah.
Like, oh no,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mimi, you can sit down now. Okay. What do you think that's going to be like? Like, well, I mean, I've known Ken and Kelly for a long time, but I've known Kelly for a lifetime, like a lifetime. I tell people my first real job was baling hay at her dad's farm in Belvedere. And I did that a few times and decided I was not going to be a farmer. Okay? Because that was way too hard to work. Right? What do you think it's going to be like when they get a call that get up to the hospital as quick as you can? Like, you know Ken and Kelly, what do you think that's going to be like? I mean, Ken is going to be standing there at that glass seeing that baby that doesn't look like him going, that baby looks exactly like me, right? And then we're all at some point getting an invitation to celebrate. Do you understand that's what's going on here? That's what's going on. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's a small thing. If it's a friend who says, hey, listen, I want to take you out to lunch this week. What's a good day for you to do that? That's an invitation. Like, it doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is. This invitation is incredible. Just the thought of an invitation, somebody caring enough about me to invite me is big. So this is the first thing I want to tell you about this avenue called prayer, which is a conversation with God, is God is inviting you and me to talk with him. And he's not saying this exclusive thing when he says, who would dare come to me? He's saying, I'm the creator, you're a creation. How could you even figure it out? How could you jump the gap between us? Except that I love you enough, and I want to have this conversation with you. I said I'd come back to the second verse, so Sasha, if you could put Matthew chapter 11, not just verse 28, but 30 up through 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Can I just stop there? Anybody carrying a heavy burden? Like if you're living in this world and you actually love other people, then I imagine at one time or another, or a majority of time, you're carrying a heavy burden. So we should perk up. Hey, listen, if you're carrying a heavy burden, come to me. Here's the invitation, and I'll give you rest. I've done as much Greek study as I possibly can on this, and rest doesn't mean I'll eliminate whatever the burden is. I'll eliminate it from your life. It's not what he's saying. Then he goes on and says, "Take my yoke upon you." What's a yoke? What's a yoke? Yeah, I see people doing this. Shoulder pads. Yeah, it's not shoulder pads, but it's that thing that goes over the animal who are doing the plowing's neck. So when you say yoke just on the heels of rest, it doesn't seem to go together, does it? And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. It seems like that's work. Couple thoughts about this when it says yoke. Take my yoke upon me. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Couple thoughts. One is this. Back in Christ's day, when you were a spiritual leader, a rabbi, you would have people that were your followers, your students, your disciples. Any of those words sound familiar? Your disciples, your followers. What it meant if you were a follower is that you believed in this leader and you believed that the way that they were teaching how to move through life was the right way to go. And so a common term back in that day was you were taking on the yoke of your rabbi. The weight of how they taught to move through life. And what Jesus is saying, there's a lot of yokes out there. I'm not going to say that mine doesn't have some weight to it. But listen, my yoke, the way that I'm teaching you to move through life, is going to be the lightest yoke that you'll carry. Much lighter than the yoke that you were bearing before. Second thought is this, that yoke was not only to hold a team or to control an individual animal, but it was to set direction in life, and that's what he's saying here. The direction I give you, I know it may not seem like it initially is the best direction in life. So the first thing I would tell you is take God's invitation. Here's the second thing that I would say coming into a conversation with God. Come with anticipation. Like, come into this conversation knowing you're coming into a conversation with the God of the universe. So come with anticipation. Psalm 100 verses 2 through 5, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. How many, music is a big thing in your life? Go ahead and put your hand up. Music is a big thing. No, put it up. How many of you, music is an okay thing in your life? How many of you, music is really unimportant in your life? Okay, we got a couple. I knew we'd have a couple along with me. All right? Come before Him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is good. He made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to every generation. Every time you and I come into a conversation with God, we're supposed to come with this because it's true. God is God. God is good. God is intimate with me. He's the source of joy. So I'm going to come to Him because I want joy in my life. It's come with anticipation. So what we can do is if we get into a routine with prayer, is we can just start doing it out of habit. We can just start doing it out of duty or just some formula, right? Remember when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Before he taught them how to pray, he told them how not to pray, right? You know, there were several things there. Don't stand on a street corner praying just to make yourself look good. But then he warned them about repetitious prayers. I don't know that there's anything wrong with repetitious prayers unless they become routine to us. Unless we learn the words or we're so familiar with them that we can say them without thinking and without feeling. He's telling us, come with anticipation if you have a conversation with me. Come excited that you get to talk with me and I get to talk with you. Here's the third thing. Come with, and I didn't know how to put this down, so I just put it in the best way that I possibly could. Come with an open heart. Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Do you remember what was going on? What had happened? David had fallen into a deep sin. And if you familiarize yourself with the timeline, it was a year before he was confronted about this. It was a year before he was confronted. In that year, Psalm 51 is his own personal agony of feeling like he couldn't come into the presence of God and that the Holy Spirit had pulled back from him. Do not banish me from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. It's to say this, when I come to God in conversation, am I coming with anticipation? Am I coming with an open heart? When people have been in conflict with each other and they've been close in their relationship and they want the relationship to go on, but they seem to be at this roadblock, when they come into conversations, more often than not, I find them not coming with an open heart. They're both just kind of stuck. Well, this is where I am, and this is where you're at. I've told you this, you've told me that. I've said it to you 422 different ways, you've said it back to me 422 different ways, and we're not getting anywhere. Do you know what? When a couple that's married and is struggling calls me on the phone and they say we're at a roadblock, you know what's the first thing that I say to them when I sit down and tell them or talk to them? It's, let's not worry about right or wrong, who's right and who's wrong right now. Let's just know that the roadblock you're at is where Satan wants you to be and it's not where God wants you to be. So the very first thing we can do is we can fall on our knees and say, God, we know this isn't where you want us to be. Like it brings them to a place of beginning to have an open heart again. And I think that's important anytime, but especially when we feel like coming into God's presence, there is a deadness to it or a coldness to it. It's not on God's part, it's on my part. And so I have to say, when I come into any conversation with God, am I coming in with an open heart? Here's the next thought. In this process of becoming comfortable in conversation with God, it is this. Get comfortable with quiet. Cindy mentioned earlier, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. That sounds really good, doesn't it? Sounds really good. Now, how many of us are really good at it? And one of the reasons we're not good at it is because we're not comfortable with quiet. So, let me divide our church again. I don't know if that's a good thing to say. Let me divide our church. How many of you are really comfortable with solitude? Like, really comfortable with solitude? Would you raise your hand? Put your hand up. Good. Wow, that's more than I thought it would be. How many of you are okay with solitude? Put your hand up. How many of you, solitude is almost painful? Okay, look around. So you, there's a handful of us. Yeah, I'm putting my hand up on this one. Okay, the other ones I was left in with my left, raising my left hand, that means that's not me. I'm just getting you to move. This is me. The busier you are as a person, the harder it's going to be to be comfortable with quiet. So I like to be busy. I like to stay busy. The world we're living in right now, does it push us more towards solitude and quiet and serenity, or busy and loud and keep going? It pushes us in that direction. Do you understand this? Technology was created to help us have more times of quiet. How many of you go into a mini panic when you can't find your cell phone? Like, this is huge. This is huge. This is big. You get into the car to drive someplace, you don't have to turn on music to distract yourself. You don't have to. You can enjoy it. But quiet is good. When in doubt, look at the example of Christ always, right? When in doubt, look at Christ. How many times do we read about he got away to a quiet place? He is God in human flesh, and yet he's setting this incredible example for us of solitude. I think a lot of people, when they talk to me about beginning their conversation with God, they get to this quiet place where they're not saying anything, and they're just trying to be quiet, and it's hard. It's so hard. In fact, it goes hand in hand with this next principle. And it's this: be determined to wait. The most famous waiting verse in all of Scripture, Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One of the things that I need when I have conversation with God is strength to keep going. There's a lot of other things, wisdom to have insight into my life and others. But a lot of it is strength to keep going. And he's saying here, if you wait on the Lord, he'll renew your strength. So you got two choices: do it in your own strength, or wait on the Lord and he'll renew your strength. God invites us to pray. He wants us to come with anticipation. We get to talk with the God of the universe. He wants us to know that and to feel it. He wants us to have an open heart to whatever he's saying. But sometimes what he's saying takes time for us to hear. It's waiting. It's listening. It's being okay with quiet. It's sitting with God long enough to hear exactly what he's saying or hear why he's saying it to us. Again, I don't want to just keep referring to this last year and a half for Deb and I, but it's the freshest thing in my life. It's the freshest thing in my world. Do you think I was glad that God invited me to have conversation with him? You think I came with anticipation? You think I had an open heart? Man, it was wide open. God, I want to hear from you. I need to hear from you. funny. Deb and I will head up to Madison on Tuesday because now she said every 3 months she goes in. So we're going in for the first one of those checkups afterwards. And the doctor said to her, listen, if it weren't protocol, I wouldn't even have you come back up every 3 months for this year. But protocol requires it. And then after that, just send me a Christmas card every year. That's good to hear, right? Good to hear. It won't fail. Tuesday, Deb and I will be driving up. And not just because it's supposed to be freezing Tuesday, you know, bad weather. But driving up, Deb will go, oh, I don't like this drive. And I'll say back to her, I love this drive. Why do you think she says, I hate this drive? Because, oh man, she's going back up to a place where she went through 2.5 months of staying in the hospital and chemo and feeling terrible, right? Why do you think I love going up there? Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people would just say the very clear and obvious answer, boy, that's a place that you took Deb that the impossible became possible, right? Only really digging in this last couple months do I understand why I love going up there. I love going up there because I got an hour of quiet and waiting with an open heart for God to tell me what I needed that day. Early on, Deb said, I feel like God said he is going to do a miracle and he's going to heal me in this. And she, you know, I was excited about that and dancing around. And then she would ask the fateful question, what is God saying to you? Because you know what she wanted to hear? Well, what God said to me is, boy, he is going to perform a miracle. But that wasn't what God was saying to me. What he said to me every drive up there, every day there and on the way back, when I was quiet and waiting, he would say this, Tim, will you let me walk with you today? And will you trust me with Deb's tomorrows? That's all he'd say. We've had time to reflect on it, and what God said to Deb, Deb needed. What he said to me was what I needed. Not to know that Deb was going to be okay, but to be intimate with God. Like, do you understand? He invited me every day. Will you let me walk with you, Tim? Every day, that's what he would invite me to. And will you trust me with Deb's tomorrows? Which I couldn't do anything about. I'm saying to you, every day, the Creator of the universe invites us into conversation with him. And we should come with anticipation and open hearts and be willing to be okay with quiet. That quiet is usually me just getting myself out of the way and the world out of the way and every distraction out of the way so that I know it's just me and God. Because that's when he talks. And that's when he says the words that we need. That pretty heavy? Okay, so let me lighten it a little bit, okay? I didn't know I was practicing this type of prayer, but I started reading about it a couple months ago and thought, have you ever had this? You're doing something for a while and then you find out there's like an official term for it. Like there's... You're not the only one. So this last year and a half, I've been doing this without knowing it. It's called a breath prayer. Have you heard of this? If you ever went through a purpose-driven life, maybe you came through then. because I don't know that Rick Warren was the first one to coin the term, but he's the one who made it pretty well known. have you heard of a breath prayer? Who's never heard of a breath prayer before? Good. Whew, man. Well, not good. I mean, I shouldn't say good, but I'm not the only one, I guess. But maybe you've been practicing and you don't know it. Maybe you've actually been doing it and you don't know it. So you know, in the Old Testament, word for God is Yahweh, right? And it's funny because a pastor will be speaking and said Yahweh, and that's translated Jehovah. And you go, how in the world does Yahweh get to be Jehovah? Well, I don't understand language. Maybe that's it. There's a way that it became that. But Yahweh didn't have vowels, and so it was just the consonants. And as far back as they can track it, one of the things that they believe that it was just the sound of breathing in and out. That you just breathe in and breathe out. And that the idea was God's the giver of life, and every time we breathe without even knowing it, we're acknowledging God. Like we're saying God. But a breath prayer is to take something from Scripture and to slow yourself down long enough to say it while you're breathing. Okay? Sash, go ahead and give me the first one. I'll try and give you some. Do you remember this from Scripture? Here am I, send me. Right? Do you remember the story? Young Samuel is there, and God's speaking to him, but he doesn't know it's God. He thinks it's Eli, and he keeps getting up and checking with Eli. Are you calling for me? Eli says, no, go back to bed. I think it's the third time Eli, the spiritual leader of his nation, goes, aha, this might be God talking. So Samuel, if you hear it again, just acknowledge, just respond to it. That seems pretty cool, doesn't it? Like middle of the night, God says, hey, hey, hey. And so what Samuel says is, here am I, send me. That would be one example of it. Let me give you a couple more, okay? Thomas, what's Thomas known for in the New Testament? What's Thomas known? What do they call him? Doubting Thomas, which I think is a pretty heavy label to put on somebody, right? But we're pretty good as human beings putting labels on other people. When he sees Christ, what does Christ say to him? What does Christ show him? Right? The nail-pierced hands shows him. And Thomas' response is, my Lord and my God. It's a pretty good response. Like, Thomas gets this heavy label, but man, I hope that anytime I see God work, that I just say, my Lord and my God. Jesus in his prayer in Gethsemane says, not my will, but yours. Right? Pretty heavy. Again, Jesus teaching prayer, thy kingdom come, your will be done. So this would be a breath prayer. It's as you move through your day, you take a phrase like one of these or whatever one God shows to you, whatever one jumps out at you, and you use that as you move through your day. Okay? And there's a couple different